Okay, I'm going to start my audio recording too, and we send out the sermon through an audio version each week as well. So we've got many different modes of sharing this message. Reach out to me or Lynn at the church office if you'd like to find out how to share this sermon with a friend or loved one, okay? All right, dear friends, our reading today is from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. Many of us know this as the Walk to Emmaus. And I really want to focus on the title this morning simply being the walk, as we consider the disciples' walk and now our walk as God's people. So hearing now from Luke chapter 24, the evangelist Luke says, "Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?' They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, who was named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?' He asked them, 'What things?' They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all of the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When they were at the table with him, he took bread, blessed, and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while we were talking to each other on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 were there, companioned together in the upper room. And they said, 'The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread." Wow, that's a mouthful. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we continue our virtual worship, I do want to share that we met recently, our church session, we call that, our church board, and in fact, just yesterday, and decided that we'll continue distance worship through the entire month of May for sure, and we'll begin discussing and visiting how we can make those transition. But that doesn't mean that we're not worshiping, does it? As all of us are learning these new words of today's times and needs of sickness and separation, virtual worship. And I think our friends in the National Football League learned something new about virtual draft picks over the weekend. Some of you probably watched that as you predicted who your favorite player or who your team was going to get. And I do want to make a special important announcement that our great state of Mississippi was number 2, I'm going to call it number 2 per capita, on the most athletes going into the NFL. So well ahead of Alabama and Tennessee and Arkansas and all you other yahoos, except for Louisiana. Sorry, I'm digressing a little bit. Let me get pastoral again. But in that NFL draft, I was reminded again of a person who has known highs and lows in his NFL career. Nick Foles, some of you will know that name, was an athlete who came out of the University of Arizona. And Foles was a quarterback who had been for a couple of different teams. He was in a backup role for the Philadelphia Eagles. And their starting quarterback became injured. Well, Foles took on the reins, led that team to a Super Bowl championship, and he received enormous accolades, a huge $50 million-plus contract when he moved from the Eagles over to the Jacksonville Jaguars this past season. Well, in the very first game of the season, you know, Nick Foles, it seems he had the world at his hands, at his fingertips, but in the very first game, he received what he thought was a shoulder injury, but as they checked him out after the game, he had broken his clavicle. He would be out for the next 11 weeks. And as Nick Foles was reflecting on that time, being out some 3 months, a reporter asked him once, and this has gone viral, talking of virtual stuff, so you all can look it up. Do a search on Nick Foles. Just type in Nick Foles Faith, and you'll hear him talk about it. But in just 2 minutes, they asked him, he said, Nick, we know your faith is important to you. How has this experience been for you? He said, well, you know, when I came here, this certainly wasn't what I expected that God was going to use me for, to have an injury and try to inspire people and reach them through this. But he said, my reliance upon God, my trust in Jesus is such that I know God's going to work for good even through this. And if this is the way that God wants me to minister here, not on the field, but in the locker room, then I'm going to embrace that. And I'm going to give God glory. He said, when I found my true joy in life, it's when I realize that it's not about me. And our life is just simply not about us. It's to serve God and to serve our Lord's people and to share God's love. And he said, once I realized that, I didn't need a Lombardi trophy. I didn't need to win the Super Bowl to find my joy. But I also was able to find joy even in the trials and tribulations that I face. So friends, I hope that many of us will embrace those words of Nick Foles today, because right now we're living in times that we didn't expect, we didn't anticipate. I've talked to 90-year-old friends who said they've never seen anything like this. We're in uncharted territories. This is not what we asked for as people of faith and how to worship, what we're doing today. But look what God is doing. I shared with some friends last night. We all stayed separated. We were on the patio. Dana and Jeff Eldridge and Philip and Pam Verdung and Monya and I. We were talking about how, you know, this is unusual times of worship. But for many of us, we're being able to worship with folks that we hadn't worshiped with ever. And some of our friends who maybe haven't felt comfortable in going into a worship setting in years are finding the courage to be strengthened in their faith through this time of virtual worship. So thanks be to God, the good's coming from it. Now, in that message that I shared with you with Nick Foles when he said, it's not just about us, we are to serve, I think that's central to our scripture today, that our faith is built to live out of us, that we're called to know joy more by living out the love that God has given us. Here's what I mean by that. Let me share a story. Earlier this week, it may have been Friday morning, I think, my parents sent me a text and said, you know what? Our friend Natalie Edmondson, and Natalie's watching today, hello Natalie, told us about this lobster truck in Memphis. It's called Cousins Lobsters, and they fly in lobsters from Maine, and they make these wonderful lobster rolls. And she said, she was just hinting, you see what moms do that. I don't know if y'all know that. They're kind of sneaky. She said, if anybody's ever up there, y'all ought to check it out. Well, she knew who goes up there. I happened to be going Friday, and it just happened to be that Noah and I were going for a doctor's appointment he had, and the lobster truck was just a mile and a half from his doctor's office. Well, you know what? I've got to tell y'all, the devil was sitting on my shoulder for a minute. Because at first, I wasn't going to tell my mom and daddy. I was just going to slip over there to the lobster truck. Me and old Noah were going to eat us a lobster roll, and then we didn't have to let anybody know anything about it. But you know what I did instead? I got them a lobster roll. I got Monya and Luke a lobster roll. I put them in a cooler. I brought them home. I got them to keep the crab or lobster meat off the bread, and it was still fresh when they got it. And here's what happened, y'all. Me telling you that silly story. Noah and I got to enjoy that wonderful meal, and it was a delight. That's the first way we enjoyed it. But also, when we brought that feast back to our family, we also knew the joy of getting to make them happy. It was a double feast because of that. We knew joy. We knew the wonderful taste. It satisfied us, but then we were satisfied again by sharing what we had with those we love. You see, that's God's mathematics. Isn't that awesome? My friend Joe Morton's who on there. I just saw him. Joe, I'm going to embarrass you and put you on the plug. I told Joe this week that we needed some masks at Memphis Theological Seminary. And we needed some gloves, and I was going to purchase some. He said, yeah, we've got some. They're not cheap, but I'll sell them to you. The rascal got me masks and gloves, and the next morning he gave me a call and said, hey, Jody, that's a gift to the seminary. And Joe knew that joy. There's something about when we give of ourselves that we know the joy of our faith. You see, I really think that hits at the heart of our reading today. Now, let me get back to the scripture. I've told us a couple of stories. On this walk to Emmaus, here's what I see happening. The disciples, as they were journeying, these two, Cleopas and his friends, our scripture tells us that when they offered hospitality, you see, that's our good word, the southern word we use. When they offered hospitality to Jesus by saying, hey, come and stay with us. You know what happened in their hospitality? In them giving of themselves, guess what happened? They saw Jesus. Wow. Friends, I don't think that's a coincidence. When we offer hospitality, when we live out love, when we do for others, we see Christ in our midst, but also this, we help them to see Christ through our actions. Isn't that good news? That the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is given to us to give to those around us. In that text, I'm also enamored in these words. As they were talking on the way, they said this about Jesus. I'm checking my time here, seeing how we're doing. We're good. We got a few more minutes. Let's go about 10 more minutes, okay? So as they were journeying on the way, our scriptures also said that Cleopas had this conversation. They said, our hearts are sad. You heard that with me. Because we had hoped that Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, that's how they described him, in word and deed, we had hoped that he would be our Redeemer. Well, friends, here is the beauty of that. We know that Jesus was the Redeemer. But not only was Jesus the Redeemer, but did you hear how Luke wrote it? He said Jesus was a prophet. Now we, many of us who know scripture, know that a prophet is one who speaks for God, who represents God. So Luke said Jesus was a prophet in word and deed. You know what I hear there? I hear that not only are we called to live out our faith, but we're simply doing that because Jesus lived out his faith. Not only did he preach what we should do, friends, he showed us what we should do. He lived out his faith through giving, by doing, through his deeds and his words. It sounds like, as Luke says, half of Jesus' ministry was not only talking about goodness of God's grace, but showing the goodness of God's grace through his actions. Friends, that's our call. You know, I'm grateful for our church family at Ripley Presbyterian Church. Back over a year ago, we began a new ministry of mission outreach. And we were already giving some funds to mission and outside of ourselves, but we wanted to make more of an impact on our community. So every month, our church board, we embraced a new mission goal every month. And we take up offering gifts above and beyond our offerings. We give people an opportunity to give to our mission goal for the month. Those numbers usually surpass $1,000 every month. And those funds go to help the local Boys and Girls Club, maybe the drug court, our food pantries, our homeless ministries. We utilize those funds above and beyond our other mission giving to impact our community. This month, we had a different emphasis that we were going to do in world missions, but we refocused those efforts to give to our local hospital workers at Tippah County Hospital. Our giving as a mission group, we fed the entire hospital. And if I know the givers that they are at Ripley Presbyterian, the amount's probably going to be so much that we'll be able to feed them again. You see what we're doing through that. And I'm not just trying to brag on that church, but what I'm saying is even beyond our words, as a church, as representatives of Christ, we're saying to those healthcare workers, you're making a difference. We want to communicate to you God's love by what we're doing and not just what we say. It was St. Francis, one of my great spiritual guides for my life, who once said, we should preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. Friends, that's how we live out our faith. That's how we embody what Christ did when he was a prophet, one who spoke for God through words, yes, but also through his deeds. And when we do that, when we hear in our text today that it was in the breaking of bread, it was in Jesus breaking and giving and serving Cleopas and his friend that their eyes were open. You see, in his act of offering love, his grace was revealed. Friends, can it be that we can have that impact as God's church in our world? The more we live out our love, the more we feed the hungry, the more we care for those who are downtrodden, the more we put action to our faith, we help people believe beyond what our words can express. You know, I shared with you that Christ indeed is our Redeemer. Those are the words that Cleopas and his friend had hoped the Messiah would be, the one who would redeem us. Let's think about that word, Redeemer, for just a moment today. When you think of the word Redeemer or redemption, you have to think about what does it mean to be redeemed? Well, when I think of redeeming something, I'm mindful of someone who recently gave me a gift. They gave me a little gift card for Macy's department store, just a little happy for Manya and me. And in that gift card, in itself, sitting in my pocket, it's worth nothing. But when I take that gift card to the one who created it, to Macy's department store, it becomes valuable. They restore it for what it was created for. Friends, have you ever considered that God redeems us in a far greater capacity? That we, in a far greater way than a gift card, were created by God to have value. And when we put our life in God's hand, when we turn it back to God and strive to live out His love, we receive the value that we were created to give God's glory and to share His love with the world around us. I want to share one final story here as I depart with you today. This week, as I think about the redeeming and the call to embrace God's love, I share that because, yes, we're called to be the faith, but friends, that's not about our salvation. We don't earn God's love by living out our faith. We don't earn God's good blessings by doing things for others. We live out God's love because God first loved us. It's a response to what God has done. You see, I wanted to share that He first comes to us as our Redeemer. That's why we're equipped to share the power of His love with others. Let me say it this way with this story. Little Luke Hill, he's not so little anymore. He's actually finally surpassed his daddy in height. Luke Hill's truck's been giving him troubles. His blinker, when he puts it on, doesn't make any sound. His radio, sometimes it gives volume and sometimes it doesn't. He's been having a warning light come on, and it's not been starting real good. So I took it to the local Chevrolet dealer, and I asked him to fix all those. You have a new starter, might have to have new fuses. They may have to replace the wiring harness. I'm just thinking all these things that may have to be repaired to fix the problem. There was one problem. He had a weak battery. How about that? They took the battery out, put a new battery in. It solved the starting issues. The radio volume was wonderful. The blinker was working. The warning lights went away. And that was a powerful message to me of this. When we think of how a battery works, it offers two gifts. It offers power, and it offers longer life. Friends, when I think of how Jesus is our Redeemer, He works in a way far greater than the most powerful battery in the world. Have you thought about that? He comes to us with that twofold ministry of redemption as Jesus came to those disciples on the walk to Emmaus, and He gives us this, like a battery, long life. In fact, life that never ends. He conquers our death and darkness forever. That's the hope we have to come. But Jesus, like the most powerful battery, also gives us this strength now. He gives us power to endure whatever we face. He gives us comfort to sustain us. And He gives us love so that we can share love with those around us. Friends, I pray that this week, you, as Christ's ambassador, let your light shine so that you will draw others to see God's love through you, and that they too may be inspired to believe in the life-giving love of our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your grace, for your love, for your claim upon us that strengthens us, that empowers us, and gives us life that never ends. And because you've loved us, God, we want to turn that love around and share it with those around us. Because in our giving our love, God, you're so good to us that we know even more joy when we live out our faith as you did, through word and deed. So God, my prayer for my friends that are listening today, as they pray for me and I pray for them, is that you will help us to be your love in the world. If there are those of us who've got a little lax in our faith, we've trusted less on you, as we all have done at times, will you make yourself known to us in a special way today, oh God, to renew us? If there are friends who are listening who really don't know how to begin this journey with you, give them the courage to reach out to someone like me or someone else who will journey with them and say, it only begins with you simply realizing that it all began with Christ's love. So will you make yourself known to new believers and renewing believers today, God? As we pray for friends and family who are facing illnesses, we do pray for Billy Pickens. I saw Teresa posted earlier, her aunt. We pray for all of these who are impacted by the coronavirus and sickness and separation. We pray especially for Bill Noakes' family today who are suffering the loss of his life. And we ask, oh God, for your continued guidance upon our nation and our world. We pray especially for our president, our Senate, our Congress, the Supreme Court. We lift up our state, our county, and city governing bodies as they make decisions that impact so many. And for all of these who hold positions of leadership, will you guide them, oh God, with the spirit of the prophet Micah, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly, O Lord, in your ways. We pray for our church, your church, not only the congregation that we worship at, whoever and wherever it is, but we pray for all congregations. Wherever your gospel is practiced and proclaimed, will you inspire and you empower your people in ministry? We do remember our health care workers. We remember the sick, the weak, the orphan, the abused, the widowed, the lost and lonely. Will you, O God, help us to be light and love as we serve our world in need to your glory? We thank you, O God, for forgiving us, for your grace that is sufficient, for your mercy that claims us as your children, and for your providence that continues to renew us to the joy of our salvation. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I pray that you have been blessed. It's been a blessing to me today to worship with you. I love you. I offer you one final blessing of our Lord from His Holy Scripture. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance, His gaze upon you, and give you peace now and forever. Amen. God bless you.